Welcome to the Physics Teaching Podcast, a podcast for teachers of physics made by physics teachers.
Physics teachers like you, Mr. Thomas WP, a part-time physics teacher of mostly A-level with a little soupçon of Year 7.
And physics teachers like you, Robin Griffiths, a physics teacher to all ages from 12 years old through to 18.
Yes, there we go. We've been listening. At least we've been to each other. That's good.
We have. And I've been thinking, we haven't said for a while why we started this crazy enterprise.
Yeah.
So I think that's worth rehearsing occasionally. So we started doing this podcast because we feel that there are many physics teachers out there who either are not specialists or who are specialists but are the only specialist in the school. We don't just feel that. There's statistical evidence to back that up. So we thought we'd create the podcast for that little geeky chat if you're a physics specialist or being thrust into a room to teach physics to children, where you can chat about physics, hear about two geeky physicists talking about physics teaching, and maybe get some hints and tips along the way.
Absolutely. I think that's it. For me, it was always this, you get people talking in rooms, they'd be shaking their heads and looking terribly glum about the fact that, you know, there are not enough physics specialists teaching physics in schools, and this is a terrible thing. And I just used to think about all these heroic teachers, mostly chemists and biologists, who are called on to teach physics. And they are absolutely heroic, and they've embraced the subject, and they've become real, real champions for the subject. And all they get is this sort of constant thing of, oh, well, I wish there were more physics specialists. And that's a terrible thing. So encouraging and celebrating those heroes and having a bit of geeky chat around is a great thing to do.
And when we started, I was the only physics teacher in my school, and it's, you know, when I wanted to talk about physics, I look to my left, there's a biologist, look to my right, most likely a biologist, whereas nearly every other subject in the school, you're not alone. And so it's been fantastic for me, selfishly, to talk to you each week. But this year we have a real physicist on the department's made it, and that has made a huge difference. It's great not being the only physics teacher in the school. Now, I was going to tell you about a funny thing that happened to me at school yesterday, and the moral of the story is do a risk assessment.
Right, okay. That's got me worried. All sorts of scenarios are unfolding in my mind, so you better tell me what happened.
So I was teaching upper six physics, year 13, so that's 17, 18-year-olds for our American listener, and I was teaching about moderators. So for those of you who don't know, a moderator in a nuclear power station slows down those fast-moving neutrons. It slows them down so they're going slow enough to cause a large nucleus to split. And how do we slow down a neutron? Well, we make it have an elastic collision. And then how big should the thing be it collides with? Well, this is my conundrum, and I hatched a brilliant plan. I ordered a golf ball, a basketball, mm-hmm. and a ball bearing, like a tiny ball bearing. Mm-hmm. And I thought, this is going to be genius, because I can, and we talked about, you know, what happens if I throw the ball at the wall? Well, it bounces off. It bounces straight back at you. That was okay, the answer to that. I said, well, let's try this. Let's say the moderator is a very big nucleus, like a gold nucleus, and here is the neutron. And I threw the basketball in the air, and I threw the golf ball at the basketball. What happened next?
Did you miss the basketball and hit one of your students?
No, I hit the basketball straight on. Oh. What happened next?
Okay, so the golf ball rebounds off and hits a student.
Exactly the same velocity at which you threw it.
Okay. A perfectly elastic
collision.
But
you haven't hit it dead on, have you? You haven't hit it dead on, you hit it slightly sideways. Unfortunately, on the side the class are sitting.
Ah, there we go.
So cue them ducking for cover.
There we go. So I guess that the moral of the story is, dear listener, be careful before you throw your balls around or something along those lines. I think probably. Thank you. As you say, proper risk assessment.
Risk assessment should have been done. It was a very good illustration of why we don't use large nuclear as moderators.
Yes.
I hope they remember it.
It's carbon, isn't it? It's graphite is the moderator, and or water, I think.
Or water, because they like to have this as close as they can, I think, to the size of a neutron. Because if you have a fully elastic collision between a neutron and a proton, it should stop, shouldn't it?
Fully elastic collision?
An elastic collision, because the neutron will stop and the proton will fly off.
Oh, I see. So that's the idea. So you're slowing down the neutron and okay. Like the backspin snooker shot. Got you. Okay.
Yes. So that was my excitement for yesterday. I've nearly finished Upper Six this year. I've been crashing through trying to get it done because we've got very short, we're very short between Easter and the exams this year. Very short, 5 weeks.
Very good. Cool. That's nice, actually. It's quite a nice short half term, actually. Although I tend to notice that sort of schools work on half terms, don't they? So you get all of the usual stuff that you would have had over 6 or 7 weeks crammed into five, which can be a bit accelerated, to say the least.
Parents' evening. Yes, you do. Anyhow, we should press on because we had quite a long chat earlier this evening with our guest this week.
Yes, and David, he's been sort of co-opted into physics and he's become head of physics. And the results that he's got in physics in his school are just phenomenal. Given that he started from almost a standing start with physics, and I think he's one of those, and I mentioned them earlier, one of those true heroes who is going and championing physics. He means an absolute passionate enthusiast for physics, and I think that will come across now, even though that wasn't his basic specialism. So a true inspiration. We love him.
We do, and we spoke to him about Isaac Physics, which is a web-based tool for physics teachers. We'll let him describe what it is, and let's go into the interview.
My name's David Buckley. I am head of physics over at Mayflower High School, and that's me.
Now, I met you, David, at SPEED, which is the physics conference for the East of England, with the clever acronym, we've talked about it before, where you led a session on Isaac Physics, and we brought you on as an Isaac Physics evangelist. So the first question is, I'm sure a lot of people will have no idea what Isaac Physics is. Can you tell the dear listener about Isaac Physics?
Isaac Physics is a web-based platform, I suppose, where students and teachers can go on and access. I think they're in their thousands now. They're certainly expanding their question base, probably exponentially, every year. But it's a web-based platform where you can just access tons and tons of physics and maths-based problems and improve. As a teacher, you can improve your own problem solving, but most importantly as well is you can improve your students' ability at problem solving, as well as just getting them comfortable and improving their maths fluency within physics.
So the question is, how much does it cost, David?
Oh, that's a magical question, really, because the whole thing's free. And when you really kind of start to look and delve deeper into Isaac, that them as a kind of organisation, I suppose, kind of spearheaded by Lisa Jardine Wright and Mark Warner, that they do so much for the teachers. The whole thing's free for teachers. It's free for the students. You can buy physical copies. They're both £1 each, so you can buy them at GCSE and university level. They sell them at cost price, so the pound is literally how much it takes to make the book. But you don't even have to buy the book. Everything's online and the whole thing's free. Even all their CPD events for teachers and students, they do masterclasses. There's so much, you know, I can talk to you all night, I suppose.
So I will declare an interest here. I am a user of Isaac Physics. I have some issues with it, which we can address later, but I thought I'd talk a bit about it too. So the questions are hard. They're ranked 1 to 5, aren't they, level? And 5 is sort of university level. And the questions are hard, and there are no answers. I've heard myths that there is an Isaac Answers book somewhere. Is that a true rumour?
As far as I'm aware, it's not. Mm. There is no book. I do my own book. I have a red folder in work on my desk, and I'm attempting to work through all the questions. Because as you say, they are hard, and they're designed to be. They're kind of completely unapologetic about it, and I agree. It's one of the barriers, and I agree with yourself, Thomas, that there are issues and there are hurdles with it. And one of them is because it's difficult. But they are kind of leveled or they're differentiated. I think it goes 1 to 6, but you are right. It goes all the way up to degree level. But as far as I know, there is no booklet. There are obviously people online putting solutions up, but they don't cover every single Isaac problem.
Yeah, so to briefly describe how it works, you log in as a teacher, you can make a group which you can put the kids in or send them a link so they can sign up for that group. And then you can assign questions to them. And the interface of Isaac, I would say, is one of its weak points. But the way it works is you have the question, which is a very standard A-level-y question for the level 1 and 2, I'd say. And then they have a series of hints, hinting the kids through. They can type the answer in online, and it will mark it for them. And the beauty of it, I think, is so many people are doing it. They know the answers that come up slightly wrong. And so you'll get targeted hints, won't you, if you get it wrong, but they've seen that 50 times before, 100 times before. It'll say, oh, have you tried this? That's a really nice touch.
Yeah, it's little things that they did develop. Like you said, the targeted hints, it's the common wrong answers that students put in. It's a fabulous little thing, because sometimes they don't, the students completely miss it because they're so obsessed about if it comes up and it says incorrect, try again. You know, they don't even see that there's this little hint. And even that little thing, just by that, or that little bit of feedback, is one, is getting them to slow down and actually make sure they even check the question. And there's loads of subtleties that Isaac do, and it takes off your plate in terms of workload. So another big issue is the sig figs, or the significant figures. They're quite strict on the significant figures. But I don't actually have to tell my year 13s anymore to check their significant figures. And actually today I spent the majority of my day marking my year 13 mocks. I think only about 3 students out of the whole cohort messed up one of the significant figure questions and didn't go to the appropriate amount, but all of them. And I don't ever tell them to go to their significant figures now, because Isaac does that for me.
Yes, and it's worth saying it has it definitely pushes sig figs, but it also has quite an elegant way of writing answers that are equations. And that's a very neat bit of software. You can either write a beautiful equation that looks like an exact equation in an equation editor, or you can hand type it in kind of code, rather like Excel markup, isn't it? It's sort of a clash between Excel functions and markup. So the richness of the answers you can give is very high, and it means the richness of the questions they ask is also high. I mean, they are super questions, and you don't see anything like them anywhere else. That's what I like about it.
The you touched on one there, the formula builder. It's I think that's gone through huge amounts of development. I think they're in double figures in terms of version of where they are with that. But they are often the hardest or the most challenging questions for the students. Those are the ones that I'll give my kind of AA star grade students. And you're leaving, in effect, you're leaving all the numbers out of the equation, out of the picture, and you're actually saying, you're really challenging them. Do they actually understand what they're doing here? And in reality, they're just manipulating some algebra. But that's often the hardest bit that I find the students can't do. And it's dealing in this just abstract nature in terms of V, R, or A or whatnot. So I often find that equation builder a really good way of differentiating between do my students really understand what's going on here, or are they just guessing with some numbers?
Robin, do you have any questions?
No, David, I wanted to just come in, and I kind of feel bad, because I agree with you. Whenever I've looked at Isaac, I've always been really impressed, and I do love the way it sort of leads through the problems, and I do like the whole layout of it. But where I stumble and where I fall down and why I don't use it as much as I should is because it's literally the bare bones of where and how to use it. So can I ask you, how do you use it with your A-level groups? Do you introduce it early? Do you set regular homeworks? Literally, what are the nuts and bolts? How do you make it work?
Robin, it's a really good question, and it's one I get asked an awful lot. And I think, Thomas, you asked me this during the speed, is, you know, it's a great product, but how can I use this in my everyday practice?
Yeah, my biggest hurdle is keeping it going. I was saying to you when we were talking about this episode that I have a inverse relationship with it. It's like decay constant. The amount I use Isaac is proportional to e to the minus t. It drifts down. It's brilliant at the start because I use it, and when you go in and it tells you how they've done on each question, and it tells you whether they've achieved mastery. So there's really rich information on how they've done, but I just forget. So I'm interested to hear what you've got to say to Robin.
Well, my relationship with Isaac, should we say, kind of on my own personal level, started a couple of years ago, and I introduced it, I think, at the start of year 10 with one of my classes, or year 9, I think it actually was, towards the end of year 9. And that actual cohort now are in year 13, so they've kind of experienced it for about 3 or 4 years. And it was actually just very much trial and error. I was just, you know, I'd probably be like you guys, I would just use it every now and again. And it was very much just a web-based just go to. I didn't have any books or anything like that. And then I started to kind of just try it myself. I used it personally because I'm not from a physics background. I'm probably, as you say, Robin, you've coined it a couple of times, your PE teacher that often teaches physics. I came from a biology background, so I wanted to get my physics knowledge better. So I started using it. And then, so I was doing that on a kind of weekly basis. So then that's how I actually started, because then I thought, well, I'm quite lazy, I suppose, in terms of homework. I don't really want to be marking homework too much. I don't want to be spending my evenings doing it. So I thought, well, what's the best way to give my kids homework that I don't actually have to mark and it's challenging? And then that's when I started using Isaac a lot. To answer your question specifically, at A level, we introduce it really early on, within the first couple of lessons. We book out a computer room. We put all the students into the computer room, and this is exactly the same at GCSE. And I have my board up with the class of where to join and the key code to put in. All students sign up. I assign a couple of boards, and then I get all my teething issues out of the way. You know, how do I join the class? What's this significant figures? How do I answer a question? Where's the board? That all gets answered in the first session or the first lesson, and then immediately I set some homework. So that's our introductory, and that gives me then an opportunity to ease all the students' concerns in terms of difficulty of questions and access problems, you know, in terms of forgetting passwords and logging on. But ideally, we introduce it really early on. So we start to introduce it around year nine to the first couple of sets, and then that kind of goes through the whole school then from year 10, 11. And then the idea is now what we're seeing is as they come through into year 12, they've already got their accounts and they already know how to do it. So immediately all barriers are broken or overcome. But to kind of really address the kind of usage, I suppose, primarily we use it for all our homeworks. And I created for Isaac was a GCSE board with all the homeworks that's kind of bespoke. So it takes about 30 to 40 minutes to complete the homework. And we set them for every single lesson. So I'm pretty sure every single lesson on the AQA GCSE spec is covered, or certainly topic is covered in terms of homework that's available, which I'll email over to Thomas after this podcast. And what we also then further do is we put the link in to the scheme of work. So any teacher that's coming, we have all our scheme of work is written. So every lesson plan is already pre-written. And for their homework in the homework tab, there is the link to the Isaac board. So everyone should be able to come in and set up and set homework for each class based on each individual lesson. The other way that you could probably look at doing it and kind of prompt you, I think, Thomas, you bring up a good point. How do you kind of remember to stay on top of it? I also have a slide. If I'm setting up homework, I put a slide in already ahead of my lesson, and it will say the homework slide is this. So I'm already kind of planning ahead in terms of, right, I've got to touch base with Isaac, I've got to set the homework, and that kind of gives me that cue to stay on top of setting homework. Often the first 10 minutes of my starter is, let's get your homework out, let's compare answers, let's who's got similar workings, who's approached a problem the same way, have you got the same answer with your partner? And then I'm going through, you can see the students who hasn't done so well, or the common misconceptions or approaches to problems. That's where I'd get my visualizer out, or I'd use the board and I kind of model the answers, or I'd grab a student's book, or I get them to go up onto the board and they model how they approach that problem. And then that gives me that kind of repetition and that routine of, we set Isaac, we go through our solutions, and that's our routine. You know, it's about the process, not the outcome. Another way that I actually embed Isaac in terms of my own practice is a little thing. It's my first bookmark on my kind of Google Chrome tab. It pops open every time I open up a new web page or open up a new window. My Google search bar pops up as well as Isaac, and it goes straight away to set and check assignments. So every time I open up Chrome, I'm kind of being prompted to check Isaac, see how my groups are doing. Do I need to set any assignments? So that's like a little novel way in terms of constantly prompting me to stay on top of setting some Isaac work. also within class, kind of a way, you know, you don't always want to be setting Isaac for homework. But what's brilliant about Isaac is the ability to use it within lessons. And the way then again, I probably remind myself is, as soon as I think, is there a worksheet? Do I need to search a worksheet? Actually, I should just search Isaac. Open up my book, have a quick check. There are bound to be tons of questions yeah. where you can practice V equals IR or you can practice F equals MA. There'll be lots of drill practice on Isaac. You can simply photocopy the book. You can either print off the web page and there's your resource. You know, you've got differentiated, challenging questions from a whole host, from a simple just substitute numbers in to multi-step equations at your fingertips, easily available. And you can either choose to print or you can save, you know, budget's pretty tight for everybody. You can save the budget and in terms of printing, and you can just put it up on your screen and the students can work through the problems. Or if you go to one of their CPD events, and they're really, really good in this sense, if you go to one of their CPD events, chances are you're going to have the opportunity to either get a handful of books or certainly get your hand on a class set of books of GCSE or A-level. And suddenly now you can hand out one between two. So that one class set of 30 now can potentially cover two classes. And there's your formula book practice. You know, you don't ever need to print off any resources anymore. You can immediately just go to the books and straight away you have access to thousands of questions. So another way to think of it then is to, as soon as you think of a worksheet, you know, let's go to Isaac and see if they can solve it first for me. As well as I've just created in terms of revision, I've created some AQA revision boards for paper one. So if you check my Twitter, I've put that link up. Equally, I'll send it again to you, Thomas, in terms of the link for that. But it is very, very good for that independent student or just developing independence of going away and practicing and kind of falling in love with the process and that challenge of striving for that, you know, 100%. I'll keep pushing. As you said, we have no idea how many attempts they've got. So they've got that safety net of just constantly going through the motion and learning that practice and resilience through the revision process. So hopefully I've answered that question in terms of how we embed it. Largely, it's through homework. It's written down in our scheme of work, as well as we use it within classes. Whenever we try to use a worksheet or drill practice, we'll use an Isaac book.
Yeah, something I like about it is that the kids say, oh, does it check how many times I got it wrong? No, you can enter as yeah. many answers as you like, but the questions are designed cleverly so that you cannot guess. You just cannot guess the answer. You've got to work it out.
Yeah, and that's also a really good thing is, and they're quite surprised by that, the students, that is. I don't know if Thomas is one student, if you've taken an hour to do it and Robin's taken 30 seconds, you know, you both got it right at the end of the day, and that's what we should reward, and ideally we should reward the student who persevered, really.
Yes, and when you look at the grid of how they've done, you know, because the questions are challenging, you know, if someone has got, you know, 7 out of 10, they have earned that. You know, if they wanted to ring their friends and get the answers, good luck to them. But ultimately, if they've got full marks, they've done a strong yeah. performance. So that's what I like about it, because the questions are hard. My problem is, how do I get away from this I equals I nor E to the minus T for how much you use Isaac? I forget I've set it, and we have a homework tracking system, and I set it on there and I forget I've set it. I mean, maybe that's just my problem, but I think I get to topics which aren't in Isaac, because they're not all in it, are they?
Yeah.
And then I sort of forget about it.
I think the majority are, but there are certain topics that lend themselves better. So now that's where I'd go back, and I would, like, so the one that I would say in terms of remembering to do it is do it yourself, and I try and complete the homework ahead of the students, so when they turn up I've got their solutions, because they are hard. Some of them will catch me and it will take me like 10-20 minutes to do one of them, and then there's obviously one student there who gets it within about a minute.
So yeah, that's when Robin gets caught, panic stricken, message from me when I can't do it. Robin's my go-to. He saved me. We found a massive misconception once, didn't we? I can't remember what that is. And I would say that is a thing to avoid with Isaac if you go and try it, dear listener, because don't just accept the 8 questions that Isaac chooses, because you may find A, that you can't do 3 of them, or B, there's 7 questions that take 5 minutes, and then an 8th question that's got 17 sections. So that is something that they haven't quite cracked.
No, and it's if you go onto the website, they now have the both books. So there's a new edition. This is at A-level anyway. So there's a new edition, and that's broken up in terms of online. You can now break up each section a bit better. So my biggest advice is for at GCSE, so you addressed a common problem there. So when I first gave Isaac physics homework to my year 9s or year 10s, you know, I actually had a girl in tears, or 2 girls in tears, because it took him 3 hours to do one piece of homework. And he was rearranging equations. That's what it was. And again, just like you said, I looked on Isaac and there was 3 hexagons or 4 hexagons. I was like, that's fine. But little did I know, within those, there was like 30 parts per hexagon. And, you know, I'd complain from parents saying you should have been, yes. And I thought, God, what have I done here? So if you go online, and I'll send you the link, Thomas, I created an Excel spreadsheet for all the GCSE homeworks that should take you about 30 minutes, or the students, on average about 30 minutes. And every single topic is covered on the GCSE AQA spec. And it's bespoke. It starts really easy, and it's literally just a table, like what we'd give in class, or rearranging the equation, I don't know, the wave equation, and you've got to find C or you've got to find F. And then 2 questions later, it's more like an exam-based question. And they even go down to multi-step equations where you've, I don't know, on a power equation, you've got to sub in V equals IR or to get R or something like that.
Yeah, certainly A-level, there are some proper hard questions. And it's also worth noting that, yes, the questions from the book are available online, but also there's a huge, certainly at A-level, there's a huge volume of questions that are not on the book, that are only online. I don't think we've been clear on that.
No, and it's... And this is often what I get on the CPD or on the courses, is the difference between mastery and problem solving. So problem solving are generally harder questions, and they're found exclusively online. Mastery tend to be your kind of drill, your rote practice, and they're all in the book. Both mastery and problem are online, but only mastery are found in the book. Hopefully I've got that clear. Again, the layout could do with a little bit of tweaking, I think. It's not intuitive of kind of how to find these questions. But again, I'll send you the link, Thomas, so put it onto the link on the website. You can download an Excel spreadsheet of every single question online. So then you can just filter through the Excel spreadsheet to find all your questions.
For A-level as well?
Yeah. Oh, this is exclusively for A-level, yeah.
All right. Is that what you said you'd created, or is that something else?
No, that's something else. The GCSE one I created, that's already done. But this is every problem-solving question that Isaac have kind of put onto their database. You can download that as an Excel spreadsheet with filters at the top.
Wow.
And you can just separate by, I don't know, whatever you wanted to look at, circular motion, A-level questions, or you can do acceleration, but I just want, say, pre-A-level, AS-level. Acceleration problems, and then off you go, you have all your questions.
Brilliant. I mean, I would say Isaac's excellent for revision. I mean, it's a brilliant thing to give to my upper sixth going into the revision period. It's great for them. I mean, they complain about the website, but they get used to it and they do see the value. And I do think they feel a sense of achievement when they do get all of them right. Yeah, ultimately are quite tenacious, and they want to, they're goal oriented, and they want to get them all right.
Well, I'd say it to yourself, Robin, as well, is just persevere, just keep pushing through, because once you're going to meet a bit of resistance from students, and they're going to complain about the significant figures and the difficulty and where's the answers. But once you kind of get over that, I've got so many success stories of a girl who's in AS crying her eyes out saying, is this right for me? And by now she literally just flew through her mock. She's done really, really well. She's going off to study engineering. She's got an offer from a university. And it's largely down to, she's done nearly 1,000 questions on Isaac Physics. And she gets obsessed. She's obsessed to have 100%. So you have those type of students, or you get the other types of students, again, who just want to get the biggest streak. They do streaks. And I think he had nearly 300 days worth of continuously just every single day doing Isaac, three questions every single day. And, you know, he's the one who's getting the A stars at the moment. And yeah, it can be quite addictive to persevere through it once you kind of get that little bug.
Sorry, Isaac supports streaks. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So when you go into your menu on your own progress, over at the top right, they'll show you your daily streak, or your streak really, and you have to answer three parts to a question to get your daily streak. So as long as they're doing, say, part A, B, and C, then
and it will just suggest questions for them randomly, because obviously you're not setting those all the time.
No, so what I suggest to the students is just the student who had, I think, 300 odd days, because he emailed them complaining, I think, so hopefully someone from Isaac listens to this, because he emailed asking, it was over Christmas, and he queried, if I don't do it on Christmas Day, will I lose my streak? And I think he did, but...
no, not at all. I think it's rightly so. Absolutely. What else would you be doing at Christmas? I mean, come on.
How else do you earn your turkey?
I mean, to be honest, you know, we're physics people. You know, we don't have friends and family. It's just, you know, fuck.
Oh, holiday.
Come on. Please.
Yeah. There's that streak available. And some kids get... Some kids like it. And they get obsessed about the old purple and kind of getting it 100%. Which is good. It just means they increase their practice and then they'll see the results.
I have to say, that's one of the things I always thought that I really, you know, did like it for and do like it for is that idea that you can hand it to particular individual students, and particularly students who might be, you know, the sort of student you're not worried about. You always get to this stage of the year where you've got a few students you're really concerned about, and you're spending a lot of time trying to work with them, and they're getting a bit anxious and getting a bit worried, particularly at A-level, I find this. But you've usually then you feel a little bit guilty about the other students who aren't getting so much of your time, and you're thinking, oh, well, what can I do for them? And, of course, Isaac fits the bill beautifully for them. If they're pretty well-drilled and they're pretty independent, you can hand them Isaac Physics and say, go for it. And they can chunter away with minimal input from you and really develop their skills. And that's where I think it's got a huge potential for me. I think actually having listened to you, David, I can see that there's real value across the piece. But I think as a sort of extension, slightly independent working tool for the good kids at A-level, yes, that could work for me, I think. So, David, one thing that occurs to me in terms of nuts and bolts is if a teacher's intrigued by this and they're looking at it and they've got any questions, what's the best way for them to get in touch with Isaac Physics?
Yeah, fabulous. It's the best way is through the website. Isaac, as a platform kind of and as a project, they've recognised the need to support teachers. You know, I think you guys are the rarity in terms of having amazing physics teachers in front of kids. And people like myself coming from a non-physics background is unfortunately becoming the norm. So Isaac are very, very much there to support teachers. So my big advice, and this is how I've met you guys and it's how I've met people like Ali, is they host loads of CPD events, whether it's online mentoring, whether it's online tutorials, face-to-face sessions. I know they've got one coming up at the IOP, I think, fairly soon for teachers. Or they just had one, actually, I think. You know, Isaac is very much there for the teachers. So check out their events page, but give them a call. But the number one that I go to when I've got a bit of problems is I go to their email. And they've just got a little form to fill in. And you just send them a message, send them any of your problems. And they normally get back to you within the day. And, you know, they've always helped me out. So they definitely recognize the need to support teachers. So please just get in touch at any time.
Great, that's great, David. And it's worth pointing out, actually, that if people are used to some sort of quite fly-by-night platforms that you tend to get in teaching, Isaac Physics is not one of those. It's a properly funded project. It's got funding from the Department for Education to actually do this stuff. So they do actually have a decent amount of resource behind it and a decent amount of effort as well. So as you say, you know, people will get back to you and you will get an answer and they do listen to your feedback. So make sure you engage as much as you are willing. You won't get left high and dry.
And I realise one thing we haven't done at any point is say the URL. So the website is, surprisingly, isaacphysics.org. So if you are listening to this in your car, it's isaacphysics.org. But if you just Google Isaac Physics, you will find it.
And if you're like me, Isaac is spelled I-S-A-A-C. Because
how many times
what's that?
Double S. Is that what you say?
I know. Yeah. I know. E-Y-E-S-A-C-K is what I get. But there we go. Anyway, but, yeah.
So and they have... And their contact page does have their phone number. You can follow them on Twitter, and they're at Isaac Physics on Twitter, and there's a contact form, rather like our website.
Yeah, and it'll all go in the show notes as well.
Yeah, and I'll send you all the links over, guys, in terms of to get the spreadsheet I created for GCSE. So you're literally your homework is done for 3 years, as well as how to access all the A-level questions just on the Excel spreadsheet.
There you go. Your homework is done for 3 years, people. That's a call to action if ever I heard one. Brilliant.
No more marking for 3 years. Imagine it. You are done.
Thank you so much for your time, David. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Pleasure's all mine, gents. No problem.
David Buckley, what a hero. And Isaac Physics is just a fantastic project. And it's one of those things, you know, I constantly find myself looking for questions, looking for ways to challenge my students. And Isaac Physics is an enormous and very, very professional and very, very free resource sitting there to use. So I've sort of made a it's not a New Year's resolution at all, but a sort of slightly close to the New Year resolution that I'm going to use Isaac Physics more in my classroom. I don't know about you, Thomas.
I make it every year, and I've done better this year than previous years. And they are challenging questions, but there's nothing wrong with that. And going on and being able to check instantly they've done the homework is brilliant.
Yeah.
And I think the website does get a little bit better each year. So I'm a fan. I just wish I was better at keeping on using it. I'll tell you what it is brilliant for, and I think I mentioned that when we were chatting with David, is revision. So when you get to this stage of the year with the year 13s, just giving them a bunch of questions for revision, it's good. And it does show the areas. That's what it's very good for, actually, showing areas where they're weak. So, you know, I gave them some level one electricity questions, which I thought were pretty straightforward. But, you know, 7 out of the 10 questions they could all do and 3 they couldn't. And that was good. Even I could work out what to do when we start the revision of electricity. For a man with a little brain like me, I could see that I wanted to look at questions 5, 7 and 8.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely true. I think what it is, every teacher has their own favourite set of resources, isn't it? And that's kind of one of the things. And we tend to lean on those and then not really consider new things because we're in the habit and we know what to expect and we know how to action the ones that we work with regularly. So with that in mind, if you've got a fantastic resource that you know about that you think we haven't mentioned or you think other physics teachers could benefit from, please, please, please do, like David did, come and have a chat with us. We're not that scary, really. I know it sounds very professional once Thomas has edited it, but we kind of sound like a couple of village idiots when we're recording it, and David will vouch for that. So, yeah, do come onto the podcast, tell us about your favourite resources, tell us about tips and tricks, things that you use, things that you think other physics teachers can benefit from, because all we've got is each other, really, in this teaching business, and it's a great way of sharing your knowledge. And, of course, you'll have your voice on a podcast forever, which is a wonderful thing.
That's the motivation. Yes, please get in contact with us. contact@thephysicsteachingpodcast.com. We have things lined up for the next couple of weeks, but we are always looking for new ideas. I was on Twitter tonight and I saw Bernard Rand had shared one of my favourite practicals. I won't tell what it is because I think I'd like to get Bernard on. Mm. And Twitter is an amazing resource if we're going to trail next week. So next week we've got Fabio Di Salvo on who set up Chat Physics on Twitter, and I was scared of Twitter. I'd never used Twitter when we started the podcast, and I now see the richness of the support and the richness of the ideas out there. So we're getting Fabio on to talk about that. I think, you know, if you're using the podcast, you're tech savvy and you don't use Twitter, I think there's something we can all learn from Twitter.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, do dive on. Anything you've got to share, anything you'd like to... Even if you'd like to plug an event or something like that, it'd be great to talk to you. And we just love to hear from people who love physics teaching. So it'd be great to have you on for a natter.
Yeah, so contact@thephysicsteachingpodcast.com, Twitter @physicstp. There's always the ever-growing but small Instagram, physics_teaching_podcast.
And there's a contact form on every page of the website, so that's another easy way to get in touch with us.
The.physicsteachingpodcast.com.
That's the one.
Well, Robin, it's been a pleasure. I really enjoyed talking with David. I think Isaac has a lot to offer teachers. You do need to commit, I think. And certainly, I learned my lesson early on of not looking at the questions. You do need to look at the questions. But this spreadsheet he's going to send me a link to sounds ideal.
Yeah, it does.
And I would, if you're stuck for questions, or you want, like you said, to challenge your more able kids, Isaac is really, really, really good for that. So I'd recommend it. But I think we've run out of time, Robin. So I'm going to say it's been a pleasure talking to you this week, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Thomas. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Physics Teaching Podcast, and special thanks this week to David Buckley. The podcast is presented by Robin Griffiths and me, Thomas WP, and also produced and edited by me, Thomas WP. Thanks for listening, and we'll speak to you next week.